This time we'll call House Education to order. We will invite the clerk to take the roll, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Rexton.
Yes, here.
Vice Chair Runningwolf.
Here.
Representative Bergstrom.
Here.
Representative Bertolio.
Here.
Representative Deming.
Here.
Representative Essman.
Excused.
Representative Lear.
Excused.
Representative Matthews.
Here.
Representative Mitchell.
Here.
Representative Romano.
Here.
Representative Seekins Crow.
Here.
Representative Thane.
Here.
Chair Anderson.
Here. Committee, what we're going to do is we're going to take executive action on the bills that are on the board first. We have one bill to be heard today, House Bill 8833, and it's scheduled for 3 o'clock. We have at least one online person, so I think we'll probably recess for a little bit so we can look at these bills, come back, take executive action on those, and then we'll hear the bill as close to the scheduled time as we can, and conclude business for today after that. So with that, House Education's recessed for how long, Vice Chair? Okay. House Education will reconvene at 2:45. We're recessed until then. The amendments for the bills we're taking executive action on passed out and are should be on your table right in front of you.
We'll go down to the bullpen.
Okay.
You guys can come down if you will sway you. Doubtful.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Yeah.
Believe me, I'm from them.
You are.
That's a very large one blown away.
Okay.
House Education back to order after the recess. This time we're going to proceed with executive action on the bills that are listed there on the board. And we will start with, if I can get my list sorted out here and all this stuff. We're going to begin with House Bill 749. Yes, would you do the intro?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, House Bill 749 was brought by Representative Jones. It's an act to generally revise laws regarding the Montana Digital Academy.
Go ahead. Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 749 do pass.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair, there's an amendment to this bill. It's amendment 749.1.1. I make a motion to amend House Bill 749 with this amendment.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion on the motion to amend House Bill 749?
To explain it?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the amendment was brought at the request of the sponsor. You can see at the beginning of Section 1, it adds in some language about the purpose of the Montana Digital Academy. In subsection 2, you can see that the Montana Digital Academy shall provide remote instruction opportunities, including remote instruction developed in Montana, provided by highly qualified educators licensed in Montana, and additional remote instruction offerings through the clearinghouse under new section 2. At the top of page 2, you can see the Digital Academy shall maximize access to high quality remote instruction through flexibility and licensure and endorsement. It provides provisions about remote instructors and the facilitation of pupil access to the remote instruction. And Mr. Chairman, I believe that's the end of the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Is there discussion on the amendment? Yes, Representative Matthews.
Yeah, just to note that if this amendment should pass, line 8 on the amendment, page 2, that core subject matters require accreditation standards. We're cutting some of that out and loosening it up a bunch, and it feels like that's just kind of the direction we've been heading, is loosening up a lot of requirements, which I can see some of the reason, but I just want us to be aware of that.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In Section 1, Subsection 2B on page 2, it references using licensed teachers from outside the state of Montana, and when that occurs, there's a need to have a licensed Montana educator in the classroom. I would just point out that that's already in Rule 1055-907, or 1055, yeah, 907. So that's kind of redundant.
Right.
But that rule already does exist, Mr.
Yeah,
Chair.
That person being the teacher of record.
Mm-hmm.
Further discussion? Hearing none, should we try a voice vote? All in favor of the amendment for House Bill 749, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Representative Matthews.
Representative Luter votes aye by proxy.
Okay. Now.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 749, as once amended, do pass.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Yes, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard a lot of great testimony from the Digital Academy, and I would just add personal experience that the Digital Academy has a long history. It began primarily with credit recovery. It has transitioned over the years and comes to serve a great need, I think particularly in our more rural communities where there may not be enough students to drive an AP class or a dual credit class. The Digital Academy is a great option for those students. Given the success it's had over a number of years, I do just want to express concern that we are substantially altering the makeup of the board. And I think one of the reasons that the Digital Academy has been so successful over time is because there are vested partners who have served very capably on the board that governs the Digital Academy. And I'm just not very comfortable with that change in the board. So as much as I support the Digital Academy in and of itself, I'm going to be a no vote because of the change in composition of the board. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes. Representative Matthews.
Along those same lines, that board composition really has a lot of influence on where the academy will go. And this bill also opens up the potential for out-of-state corporations that we're sending money to that are for-profit, that have less vested interest in our students' success and more vested interest in their bottom line. And that board has a huge impact on that. And the two of those together in this bill, with the board changing plus opening it up to those out-of-state corporations, I'm also a no on this one. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Rexton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Running Wolf?
No.
Representative Bergstrom?
Yes.
Representative Bertolio?
Yes.
Representative Deming?
Yes.
Representative Essman?
Yes.
Representative Lear?
Aye by proxy.
Representative Matthews?
No.
Representative Mitchell?
Yes.
Representative Romano?
No.
Representative Seekins-Crow?
Yes.
Representative Thane?
No.
Chair Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, there were 9 members that voted yes. 4 members that voted no.
Okay. Thank you. House Bill 749, as once amended, is on its way to the floor. And I want to thank the committee and also note that the comments are noted and will be shared with the sponsor. Okay, Senate Bill 8.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 8 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and Committee, Senate Bill was brought by Senator O'Brien on behalf of the Education Interim Committee. It's an act to revise laws related to personalized and transformational learning.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, there's an amendment to this bill by the sponsor. Senate Bill 8.001.002 be amended to Senate Bill 8.
You've heard the motion to amend Senate Bill 8 with the amendment .1.2. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Yes, please. She wants to explain it first.
Mr. Chairman and Committee, at the bottom of page 1, it adds in a definition of proficiency. At the top of page 2, it makes a small change to the definition of proficiency-based learning. And in section 2, subsection B at the bottom of page 2, the school district's application must include the district's definition of proficiency within the meaning of the term used in 20-9-311 sub 4 sub D. It must be incorporated in the district's policies and used for the purposes of determining content and course proficiency and other progress, promotion from grade to grade, grades, and graduation for pupils enrolled in the district's transformational learning program.
You've heard the explanation. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Oh, and Mr. Chairman, I apologize. On page 4, there's also a small amendment on line 21. Requiring that money must be expended by the district within 2 years of the date of distribution. Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are we good with the voice vote on the amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Representative Loder votes aye by proxy.
Okay. All voted yes. Now, one more proxy, excuse me. Representative Bertolio left. I didn't notice her leaving.
Sorry. I didn't notice her either. Make sure I get the right bill. Mr. Chair, Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Okay. All voted yes. Now, discussion on Senate Bill 8 as once amended.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 8 as once amended be concurred in.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion on the motion?
Question.
Question's been called. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Proxies.
Representative Loder votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Senate Bill 8 passes and it's on the way to the House floor. This time, we'll consider Senate Bill 10.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 10 be concurred in.
And there are no amendments to Senate Bill 10.
No, Mr. Chairman and Committee, Senate Bill 10 was also brought by Senator O'Brien at the request of the Education Interim Committee. It's an act revising school funding laws.
You've heard the motion and the explanation. Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 10? Hearing none, we'll call for the question.
Question.
All in favor of concurring with Senate Bill 10 or moving to the floor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All voted yes, except for the proxies yet to be counted.
Representative Loder votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Do you want to get carried?
Yes, back to Senate Bill 8. Vice Chair Rexton will be carrying that. I'll carry Senate Bill 10 unless somebody else has a burning desire to. Okay, Senate Bill 132, which on your folder says House Bill, but it was mislabeled, so with that.
I'm just digging through here. Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 132 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and Committee, Senate Bill 132 was brought by Senator Beard. It's an act to enhance agricultural education in Montana.
You've heard the explanation and the motion. There are no amendments to Senate Bill 132. Is there any discussion on the bill? Hearing none, let's try a voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Nay. For opposition? Proxies?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loder votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Okay, unanimous. And Representative Bergstrom will carry that bill. We'll move now to Senate Bill 213, which was presented by Senator McClafferty.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 213 be concurred in.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 213 is an act to revise laws related to school safety and require an annual review of school safety or emergency operations plans by school district trustees.
You've heard the explanation, the motion. Is there any discussion on the Senate Bill 213? Question's been called. Do you want to try a voice vote or do you want a roll call? Okay, all in favor, Senate Bill 213, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Proxies?
Representative Lutter votes no by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Senate Bill 213 passes. What is the vote count on that?
The vote count on Senate Bill 213 would be 11 yeses, 2 noes.
Okay. Do we have anyone that would be interested in carrying that bill on the floor? All right. Representative Romano. Senate Bill 289.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 289 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and committee, the Senate Bill 289 was brought by Senator Friedel. It's an act to allow the Board of Regents to waive tuition and fees for surviving spouses and children of Montana firefighters or peace officers who died in the line of duty.
You've heard the motion and the explanation. Is there any discussion on the Senate Bill 289? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Proxies?
Representative Lutter votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Do we have someone who would be interested in carrying this? Yes. Representative Bergstrom. Representative Matthews will carry that bill. Okay, this time we'll move to Senate Bill 374.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 374 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Senate Bill 374 was brought by Senator Curdy. It's an act to generally revise public records requirements for local governments.
Mr. Chair, there's amendment to this bill by the sponsor. Senate Bill 374.001.001. I make a motion that Senate Bill 374 be amended.
And yeah, Mr. Chairman and committee members, the amendment was at the request of the sponsor. It adds in a new subsection 4 on page 3 regarding the local government's central record registry to ensure that a local government entity doesn't add any record that contains confidential information or is otherwise protected from disclosure to that central registry. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You heard the motion on the amendment and the explanation. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Question.
Question has been called. All in favor of the amendment 374.1.1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Proxies.
Representative Lutter votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Okay, let's move.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 374, as once amended, be concurred in.
You've heard the amendment. Is there a discussion on the bill as once amended? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Okay. Representative Mitchell, and then we need the proxies.
No,
and
as well.
Crow also, excuse me. I didn't mean to overlook you. Proxies?
Representative Lurie votes no by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, 10 members have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
Okay. Senate Bill 374 moved to the House to have someone to carry it.
I will, if nobody's got a burning desire.
Representative Thane will carry that. Okay, this time.
Which one are we doing?
444.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 444 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and committee, Senate Bill 444 was brought by Senator Small. It's an act revising laws related to work-based learning programs and requiring written agreements for work-based learning programs and specific elements to qualify for exemption from certain wage laws.
Okay, you've heard the explanation to Senate Bill 444. Is there any discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senate Bill 444 signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing none, do we have someone who'd like to carry the bill?
We got
proxies. Oh, proxies. I'm sorry.
Representative Lover votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
And Representative Bertolio had asked to carry the bill. And finally, the one we've been waiting for.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 480 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Senate Bill 480 was brought by Senator Dunwell. It's an act to revise laws related to student data to increase awareness of and access to post-secondary opportunities for students.
Having heard the amendment and the explanation, is there any discussion on Senate Bill 480? Yes, Representative Essman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry to be so thick on this, but we had a discussion downstairs, and I'm wondering, this is for an opt-out, right? So this information, personally identifiable information, may be released to accredited post-secondary institutions unless the student's parents elect not to have the information shared. Am I reading that right? So the parent or the student has to say, no, do not release my information.
Yes.
Otherwise, it will be released. Is that?
Yes.
What? Okay. All right.
That's how I understand the bill. And I guess my comment on the bill, I certainly understand the desire to have the information to higher education institutions in Montana, both private and public. And my only heartburn with the bill goes back years ago when I was involved with the National Principals Association, and we got into a little bit of a quibbling match with both SAT and ACT because they were selling the information to third-party groups that had nothing to do with education. And as an aside, I think if you check their financials, it's about 8 to 10% of their income stream. So be that as it may, that's just a comment from my perspective and my experience with this. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I might just follow up and say, if I recall the testimony correctly from the university officials that were present, including the president of Carroll College, one of the concerns was they had access to data on out-of-state students that they might be recruiting, but did not have access to the same data on Montana students, and therefore they wanted this provision so that they could also actively recruit the Montana students, Mr. Chair.
Yes, I recall exactly the same conversation, and without getting too far into the weeds, hopefully down the road, the data system that we have down, the new one, will include the opportunity for higher education and other departments needing information from the Office of Public Instruction to better access that data. But that's another story for another day. Further discussion? Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Okay, roll call vote on Senate Bill 480. Vice Chair Rexton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Running Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Bergstrom?
Yes.
Representative Bertolio?
Aye by proxy.
Representative Deming?
No.
Representative Espin?
Yes, that's okay.
Representative Lear?
No by proxy.
Representative Matthews?
Yes.
Representative Mitchell?
No.
Representative Romano?
Yes.
Representative Seekins-Crowe?
No.
Representative Thane?
Yes.
Chair Anderson?
No.
Close vote. Mr. Chair, the vote, 8 members voted yes, 5 members voted no.
Senate Bill 480 passes and is headed to the floor. Do we have someone who would like to carry it?
Bertolio might be the right person for that. She understands this whole bill.
Well, in her absence, I'm sure that Representative Bertolio would be delighted to carry the bill and will put one copy aside for her reference.
Can we note that Representative Rexton volunteered her?
Yes, we can.
You can. You can make sure that you tell.
That ends the executive action from the House. At this time, we're going to recess for a moment and see if we can track down. We have one bill, House Bill 833, on the schedule this afternoon. If we can locate the sponsor, and he may be home ill, but if we could check and see if he's here today, that would be very helpful. Is he here? Representative Barker, Brad Barker. This, whatever these illness is around here, it's got resilience. It's just phenomenal. You think you're well, and about a day later, you go into a tailspin again. There you go.
I guess Marta needs to sign that. Is she supposed to sign that? Well,
no, she just has to send that. She coordinates her vote matched with. Did she match it with yours?
Yeah.
Then just put your name down.
Okay.
She's already signed the bottom.
Okay.
It is what? You did a good job the other day.
Capital credit.
Oh.
Everybody all accepts that. All in favor of taking this sickness, say aye.
Well, one of the things I think that contributes to it is the ventilation in this building, is especially if you're working down in the bottom floor. There's air down there that was down there when Governor Maher was here.
Can we text him?
Yeah.
Is he going?
He's on his way.
Oh, he is on his way.
That's why he was in the committee.
Maybe he needs a B12 shot with what he's got.
We'll call. Are you ready, Rose? Call House Education back to order out of the recess. Welcome, Representative Barker. Are you prepared to open on House Bill 833?
I am, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to present House Bill 833, teacher residency program, to you this afternoon. My name is Brad Barker, last name B-A-R-K-E-R. I represent House District 58, which is Carbon County. County seat is Red Lodge. This bill is expanding on the teacher residency program that was initiated as a pilot in the summer of 2022 with 17 residents. The goal here is to be able to fill or at least in part address a lot of the hard-to-fill vacancies that we have in teaching positions across the state, and that problem continues to become more of a challenge. Previously, the funding for the residency program was provided by federal funds, SRARP funds that were available predominantly from the pandemic, and we need to replace those now with funds from the state to be able to continue and expand the program. The program for teacher residency, it basically establishes the process to have a teacher resident program that is in part funded by the state, but it also requires local school district matching funds in the terms of housing or housing stipend to be able to qualify to participate in the program. It is optional, and the components of the program are essentially that the resident serves not as the teacher of record, just to clarify, but truly as a resident who is learning from a master teacher. There is a master teacher stipend, and then there's a total of $1,400 per month that's provided in terms of compensation for the resident themselves. The teacher stipend is about $6,000, and then there's also some relief from the tuition cost for that resident. One key component of making sure that the program has efficacy is that it will require the individual who participates in the resident program to serve 3 out of the next 5 years following graduation in that role in that community as a teacher. Part of the reason that we allowed those additional 2 years is, of course, for those young families that are getting started, so say a young mother that needs some time in that period to not fulfill the have to fulfill all 3 years right up front. There's also a grow your own component to this program, which taps into the career and technical education that a lot of our high schools are executing, and allows the use of dual credit, and for a junior at a high school, for example, to serve as a paraprofessional. But with that said, I know that the Office of Public Instruction has representation here and has participated extensively in the drafting of this bill, and I've been working with them and other education agencies in the state. I appreciate that cooperation. I look forward to having a discussion on the teacher residency program, and I'll stand by for questions and reserve the right to close.
Thank you. At this time, we'll ask for proponents in the room.
Cheryl Allen, S-H-A-R-Y-L, last name Allen, A-L-L-E-N. I work as the deputy superintendent at the Office of Public Instruction, standing as a proponent because I've had the privilege of having my fingerprints all over this in its design, in bringing think tanks, experts in the state and out of the state that have worked with residency, a tremendous amount of research in the recruitment of districts. Our focus in this demonstration project has been in the rural components of the state. And I'm going to just, if I may, share from a couple. So I'll be a proxy proponent, if I may.
Please do.
So Amy Piazzola is out of the Flathead area, K-8, superintendent principal. I am a proponent of 833. My district has had the opportunity to have a teacher resident this school year. The entire experience has been nothing but wonderful for all involved. I definitely feel teacher residents get the opportunity to be involved. Who are involved with this program will be better prepared for teaching. The opportunity to have a year-long teaching experience versus the typical 12 to 16-week student teaching experience is key to understanding how a school operates. All the dynamics that go with teaching students and being part of a school community. It is a commitment on all parties involved, and the rewards are going to be felt for generations to come. We need quality teachers in Montana. Recruitment and retention are key factors in this. I think we all know that, right? This bill is a step in the right direction for Montana's teaching workforce. Thank you for your time and consideration. We have one from a teacher leader, and this is going to be up in one of our more rural areas. Shannon Limburse is a third grade teacher. She said, I've had the privilege of mentoring multiple student teachers in the past. I've always thought it was a mad dash to successfully teach classroom management, build a student-to-student teacher relationship, and help the student teacher develop ways to teach content adequately. The residency allows the student teacher to attain and use the management skills that they observe during the first semester. They're more confident when they start teaching. They also build relationships with students from the beginning to the end of the year. My resident was able to co-teach throughout the first semester while taking 16 college credits. Through extra modeling and experience, she was able to deliver curriculum content with finesse and confidence. She also had more full-time teaching experience than the traditional program allows. I believe this program will help her be more successful in acquiring and keeping employment in our Montana school districts. Your support of this is crucial for our Montana rural school systems. They need high qualified new teachers that will stay in Montana instead of going elsewhere. I'll leave you with a call we got this week from another superintendent who had called in and said, I just have to tell you about this experience with my teacher leader who had determined they were retiring this year. She said to her, being part of being a teacher leader and all the professional development that's available to us, I have learned more in this year than I have in my 30-plus career with professional development. I have learned new strategies and new methodologies to use in the classroom, and my students respond with greater engagement. I am so re-energized and excited. I'm not retiring. In fact, I can't imagine when I will retire because I have gotten remotivated as a teacher. Well, that's a nice place to say a side benefit of retention is that motivation to stay teaching longer. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good afternoon, Chair Anderson. Good to see you. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dennis Parman, P-A-R-M-A-N. I am the Executive Director of the Montana Rural Education Association, but this afternoon I'm here on behalf of my colleagues that make up the Coalition of Advocates for Montana Public Schools. The members of that coalition are the Montana Association of School Business Officials, the Montana Quality Education Coalition, our organization, MREA, the Montana School Boards Association, and the School Administrators of Montana. We'd like to thank the sponsor for carrying this bill and his interest in a residency program in Montana. I think building off of the work that's been done at the Office of Public Instruction, it's a very powerful promise to the future for a residency program. They've done an awful lot of work that Deputy Allen spoke to. Residency programs aren't new to education. Relatively new concept within the state of Montana. I did a little bit of searching, and I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of research that I was able to find about the positive impact residency programs have had on rural schools in particular around the country. Colorado has a program. In eastern Colorado, Bakersfield, California, off the campus there, has a program. East Carolina has a program that has some good research behind it. There's also one in New Hampshire. And as odd as it may sound, my time working at the state, Montana, not geographically, obviously, but for other reasons, we were all often in the same bucket, if you will, when it came to rural states, based on other factors. So we know that the research is there. We know that in the research that's been done, the measure of success would be the retention rate, and they're high. One of the studies that I read did a retention rate examination after 3 years, and then again after 4 years, And over time, you could imagine the numbers dropped off, but not very much. They were in the mid-80s after 3 years and in the high 70s after 5 years. We know that not only across the country, but in Montana in particular, that teacher recruitment is at a crisis level and has been for a number of years. We don't see any promise in the near future of that going away for all schools, public and private schools, and a residency program would be a great addition. You've probably heard of other programs or maybe experienced something locally where you live. There is no magic program to solve the problem. There are good programs like this program added to other good programs that help over time. So we would appreciate your consideration and support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Additional proponents.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sarah Piper, S-A-R-A-H-P-I-P-E-R, Director of Public Policy and Research at Montana Federation of Public Employees. I just wanted to share our support for this bill. We've heard a lot of bills that have been about less student teaching experience or less experience working under a veteran teacher before licensure, and I think this is the exact reason that we are concerned about that, is because what you hear from proponents by proxy, is how important that is both for the teacher who is learning to have that full year of experience even better, as well as the veteran teacher who gets re-energized by the chance to examine new ideas and new ways of teaching things through that collaboration with a resident. So we really support this bill. We thank the sponsor for bringing it, and we hope you give it a due pass.
Thank you. Are there proponents online, Amanda?
Yes, Mr. Chair. There's Preston Wentz.
Okay. Preston, would you go ahead, please? And if you would, spell your name for the record.
Yes, sir. Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N. Last name, W-E-N-Z as in zebra.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, committee, for taking your attention to this bill. I have had the pleasure of being part of this round one, if you will, this year, the pilot year, and it has been nothing but phenomenal. A lot of times what's happened in the past, I'm up here in the beautiful Clark Fork Valley in northwest corner, Trout Creek, Montana, superintendent. We're not close to any universities, Missoula University in Montana, about two and a half hours away. So normal traditional student teaching programs tend to bypass rural areas just due to the location. So when this opportunity came about, we jumped at it because this allows us to be part of training up future teacher leaders and being a part of building on our profession. The other thing that I really like about this model is it puts and keeps teachers on that professional level that we tend to sometimes as a society not keep them at. And, you know, we do doctor residency programs, medical residency programs, and now with this, it puts it up there with a little bit more respect, I guess, if you will, tied to it. So it's been a great program for us. We've had a teacher leader course assigned to our resident student. It's been a huge blessing to her as well. She's got over 12 years of experience, and as Dr. Allen mentioned earlier, with the other teacher leader, they're constantly learning and doing more things. We've had a situation in my small district here where we had a teacher just retire, so we've got someone filling in that spot, and our teacher leader has stepped up to help that person with that classroom with the knowledge and that she has gained. So it's just been phenomenal, and I guess really in a nutshell, in my opinion, it's what's best for kids. It gives that resident a chance to, and someone said it earlier, see the whole program from day one to the last day. From the day the kids are first walking in the door, either all excited or scared to death if they're in kindergarten, all the way to that last day when the teachers are all excited, they're getting on the buses and rolling on home for the summer. So it's a phenomenal program. I would love to see this fully backed, financed and everything, and continue on. I do believe it's what's best for us to continue to grow this profession and to continue to put highly qualified teachers in front of our kids, and especially for those of us out here in the sticks in the rural areas to be able to have those highly qualified teachers as well and be part of such a successful program. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Are there further proponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are there any opponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Informational witnesses. Online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Okay, questions from the committee. Yes, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hesitate to make the good sponsor speak any more than he has, given his affliction today. But I do have a question for the sponsor. Mr. Chair and Representative Barker, I know the pilot program is still in its infancy. We heard some anecdotal reports about its success. Is there an evaluation in place to assess the efficacy of the program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, there is a mechanism in place to be able to provide results back, and I think that Ms. Allen could probably expand on that if you give me the opportunity to re-refer.
Re-refer, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, Representative Barker, yes, there is. We use the Comprehensive Center 17 for evaluation that has been ongoing this year, both qualitative and quantitative data. Quantitative data is measuring a baseline of where the residents are and perceptions, but also skill sets that both the resident and the teacher leader are incurring. And as we continue to expand, we will be tracking the residents from this first year into the next 2 years to continue to collect that data. But it is absolutely a third party. They are affiliated right now to Education Northwest as one of the 19 comprehensive centers in the nation.
Thank you. May I ask a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Allen, do we have an indication of how many of these residents intend to sign a contract and remain in the district where they are engaged in the residency? Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, we just had the residents in town this week, and we asked the question, how many of you are already under contract? Four raised their hands. They've already signed contracts. Another five indicated their districts have already offered. They're waiting for the contracts, but they will be signing that. And we anticipate by the time we're done, all of them will have contracts signed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Allen.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Essman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, Representative Barker, but I need you to talk to me a minute.
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barker, I know you mentioned the amount of money, and I can see it in the fiscal note for the resident compensation and the teacher stipend, but I don't see it in the bill. Am I just missing it somewhere?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman, you're not missing it. What I got into probably a little bit more detail than maybe necessary for the opening, but a lot of that is accomplished with the rulemaking for the program within the department or within the agencies themselves and in concert with OCHE.
Okay, so I guess we don't need to worry about that. It's just $2 million, and then they'll figure out how they want to spend it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman, I'd like to have Ms. Allen come up and talk in more detail about the mechanism and the way it works. She could certainly do it better justice if I could re-refer.
Re-refer, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Deming, Representative Barker, there is a fiscal note that is attached to this, and in the fiscal note, we identified some of those elements that will be in place. So let me see if I can run through them. When you read the bill itself, one of the components there is the potential for tuition waivers with a clawback. The clawback is OCHE's responsibility. In the bill as well, the challenge of finding housing, we have districts that don't participate, and their only barrier is they have no housing, nor could they afford the housing that they might access. So the idea, can there be a housing supplemental stipend to help that work for our districts? In addition, you'll see some personal costs, some of those personal costs OCHI has requested. The universities that pick up the expansion work of this, our goal is 70 residents by the time this bill is in play. Ideally, we'd like to be around 120. This bill would never cover 120, but we've got ideas around how we can get there with district strategies. So the key elements, again, are going to be the teacher resident stipend at $6,000. I would share with you prior in the traditional model, it's $250 for a teacher to help develop our next generation of teachers. It's one of the elements of raising the belief that those teacher leaders are critical. In addition, you've got the other amounts that are there. The $1,400 a month is the compensation that goes for that resident for a full year. The reason for that is we'd rather not have our next generation of teachers that need to develop every skill they possibly can today to be doing their developmental work during the day and going working jobs late into the night. So that is a key element, and again, it's an element of recognizing the importance of the profession and the professionalizing of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up. Ms. Allen, that would be great if you would, you could probably help me with this. Number 8 in the fiscal note talks about contracting with LEAD Educator Preparation Program for $129,000. I didn't see that on the budget side. So where does that show up?
So that's within the $2 million of when we send funds. So the OPI doesn't keep the funds at the OPI. It's a reimbursement model. So the education prep program that's the lead, as that number increases the expenses to them for deployment of the dollars, they also help. They do their own evaluation. But the key element of that is the recruitment. It is the payment of the fiscal, because as we look at our EPPs and the one that we're looking at, they have working deans, they have working faculty that have picked this up in addition. So that's what that's for.
Follow up. I'm sorry. I'm just looking for that $129,600 because this itemizes your expenses. And so I just need to know, where is it included in the resident costs, the membership stipend? Because this all comes up to $2 million, but I don't see the $129,000 in there anywhere.
Right. So if you look at the categories of discussion, it talks about the 2.5 FTE that may be needed. So we didn't write it in the fiscal note as an actual, because that's contingent on expansion of the program.
Okay.
And so we recognize that we will make those adjustments in the $2 million as the program expands, and in the second year of the biennium of 25 when this bill kicks into play. But that's why you don't see it written in right now, because we can't predict those numbers. We know what our target is. But it is noted.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Romano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question for Deputy Superintendent Allen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Romano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Allen, I think you answered, but I just want to clarify. So you're anticipating that in the first year, I guess we'll say the second year, since the first year has kind of already taken place, but this next year, you're anticipating possibly 70 residents could participate. Is that right?
Our target is 60 for the fall.
Okay.
This bill doesn't kick in to play till the second year of the biennium. Our target is to be at 70. Actually, our ideal would be 120 based on the number of vacancies that are remaining unfilled in our state. We get to 120, we'll definitely come back and report to the committee on how we braided the funds to get there.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
Thank you. And then, Ms. Allen, and so with this proposed budget, would that cover the, would that cover 60 residents?
It'll cover 70.
Okay, thank you. And one more follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Allen. And then just to be clear, does this, so would this program replace student teaching? Like this would be an essential, like the student teaching and the traditional 12-week or 16 weeks of student teaching would go away?
Mr. Chair, Representative Romano, currently our EPPs are generating just under 500 graduates in the education program. There will be some of those that still choose to do the short traditional model. This is saying, here's another option. We believe it's critical for the transition in the workforce shortage that we have teachers that on day one can enter classrooms ready to go instead of going, oh, now how do I do this? Oh, I've got this. So it's really a key element around there is choice still, but our goal is to get to 120.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. One more follow-up. I really like this program, but I have more questions. So with that, what you just said, Ms. Allen, would it be possible for a teacher, let's say they didn't know they were interested in this program or they didn't even know that it existed and they were through their college experience getting ready to student teach, could they still then at that time decide to enter into this residency program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Romano, we had a cutoff this past year exactly because of placement and all the work. We had two requests within the week before school started. We worked with the EPP. We worked with the districts and placed those individuals.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you,
Representative Deming.
I have my questions answered. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Hearing none, would the sponsor like to close?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks again for your time and the opportunity to discuss this bill. Beyond just carrying the bill for the agency, this is an important bill for my own community, just based on personal experience that we have with rural schools and the challenges of being able to get teachers to fill those positions. I've got one school that has not been able to hire outside of the district for 6 years to fill vacancies. So what they've done is hired on an emergency basis. And the way that they've done that is hiring a new cook and then training the cook over their time in preparing meals. And when the next teacher vacancy opens up, they hire that individual and then hire another cook. So certainly continuing to go about trying to get quality education for our kids on an emergency basis is not the right approach. I think that this is a fantastic approach and a great model for us to pursue and provide additional funding for, and I think it'll pay dividends for our kids in the future. I urge your support and you to vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. This closes the hearing on House Bill 833. And thank you for coming, Representative, when you're under the weather. Appreciate that. Committee, before we adjourn, if looking at the calendar, the time is becoming quite short for bills before the next transmittal deadline, especially if they have to go to appropriations. And so with the fiscal note on this, obviously it's going to be going to appropriations. And so with your indulgence, unless there's an objection, I would like to do executive action on 833 today, so we can get it to the floor and then get it to appropriation should it pass.
And Mr. Chairman and committee members, there are two different amendments that have been drafted for 833.
Okay, would you like to explain, though, hand them out and then explain them?
Yep.
Do you need help handing them out? You have help handing them out.
Pass them down? That way.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Laura, she didn't explain them.
It's the second one. It's just a one pager.
Do I move both amendments?
I think. Do you want them in sequence, Laura? How would you like to do this?
Do you want me to explain both of them?
Yeah.
I think they're both pretty short.
Let me move the bill first.
Okay. The sponsor is back. Thank you. In case there's a question, Representative Barker, we're going to take executive action on this today because of the timelines. And so with your indulgence, in case there's a question about the amendments, if you could stay for just a couple more minutes. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 833 do pass. And both amendments, you're ready?
Let's do one. Let's do 1.1.1.
And, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill House Bill 833 be amended with amendment number 833.001.001.
Okay. Would you like to explain that, please, Laura?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, 833.1.1 was brought at the request of the chairman. The amendment is on page 3. It would strike the language in subsection 5 that currently provides that the Office of Public Instruction and the Department of Labor and Industry shall collaboratively explore the development of a registered apprenticeship program for teachers, and that any program developed would align with legislative intent, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is there any question about the amendment 833.1.1? Yes, Representative Matthews.
I'm just curious of the reason, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The reason is that this is not really an apprenticeship program, and when the bill was originally drafted, the drafter had included it as an apprenticeship program, and this is a professional study program. And so my feeling was on that amendment that it wasn't appropriate to have this program listed as an apprenticeship program that would be evaluated by the Department of Labor and OPI. OPI already has evaluation instruments in there, as were discussed earlier.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, excuse me. Representative Thane.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to commend you on a good catch. Thank you.
Do you want to pass?
I would vote on it.
Is there any further discussion on .1.1? Hearing none, all in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Proxies?
Representative Seekins Crow votes aye by proxy. Representative Lerner votes aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Amendment 833.1.1 passes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 833 be amended with .001.002.
Mr. Chairman and committee, 833.1.2 was brought at the request of the sponsor of the bill, Representative Barker. You can see at the top of page 3, starting at the bottom of page 2, subsection G, the financial and other compensation for residents and teacher leaders, including on the top of page 3, then, for a resident in a professional educator preparation program accredited by the Board of Public Education. Moving down to subsection 6, the definitions in the definition of professional educator preparation program, add that it would be recognized by the board as an essentially equivalent program for teacher certification purposes. And then in the definition of teacher residency program, at the end on the top of page 4, add that the program meets the criteria of supervised teaching experience as defined by the Board of Public Education. Mr. Chair.
You've heard the explanation on this amendment, .1.2. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Representative Thane.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask the bill sponsor a question regarding the amendment.
Please go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barker, I'm looking on page 3 of the amendment, the statement, or recognized by the board as an essentially equivalent program for teacher certification. Could you elaborate on essentially equivalent programs, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, this was put in there specifically to make sure that we were not leaving out of state universities or systems from the program. Western Governors, for example, is within the top 4 producers of teachers in Montana.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions or comments on this amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Proxies?
Lur, Representative Seekins Crowe, aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Okay, let's.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 833, as twice amended, pass. Do pass.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Pardon? Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Deming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I spoke on the floor on 445, Representative Romano's bill, and I see that obviously there's essential differences between that, but that bill appropriated $1 million, I believe, and Representative Romano could answer that question probably. And this one is appropriating $2 million for another program, teacher preparation. So is there conflict between the two bills at all? That would be my question. Or are they completely separate programs and now we're going to spend $3 million?
Would you like to answer or would you like me to?
Well, sure, I'll give it a stab and you can chime in as well, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Deming. I think that they would be separate programs, particularly since the mentorship program is geared towards teachers who have already been placed. And this is teachers who have yet to do their student teaching and they're both beginning teachers, but one has already been placed within their first 3 years of teaching. And the mentorship program would be specifically good for teachers who are teaching with emergency authorizations or provisional licenses. And to my understanding, teachers who've gone through this program are not going to receive a provisional license. They'll have a regular license.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Questions have been called. All in favor of passing House Bill 833 as twice amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Proxies.
Lur and Seekins Crowe vote aye by proxy.
Representative Bertolio votes aye by proxy.
Congratulations, Representative. House Bill 833 will move to the floor. There's no other business to come before the committee. House Education is adjourned. And have a nice but abbreviated weekend. That could have been a crucial time.